Ms. Silka?
Here.
Mr. Clapper?
Here.
Mr. Hook?
Here.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Here.
Mr. Tipton?
Here.
Mr. Turner?
Move to excuse.
Second.
Ms. Amber?
Hi.
Ms. Wallach?
Here.
Ms. Wesley?
Here.
Who motioned?
I made the motion to excuse.
Thank you. And who was second?
I think she's doing all. Okay.
Right. First of all, I'd like to thank all of the people that came here to apply for this position. We appreciate your interest in serving the community. Interviews will be conducted one at a time. Those who are not currently being interviewed will wait in the community room, and someone will come and get you when it's your turn. Council members who ask questions will ask the same question of each applicant. Follow-up questions may be asked and may be different. We will not be making a decision today. The council will be voting on this appointment during our regular council meeting on Wednesday, January 21st. We would like you to attend that meeting if you're able. If you cannot be there, that's perfectly fine. I can swear you in, or Hope can swear you in, or Kathy can swear you in. So if you can't be here, we certainly understand. As mayor, I cannot ask questions during the interviews, nor am I a voting person in making the selection, only if there's a tie. But with that, we'll begin, and the first person is Eric. So if the other two would go with Kathy, and she'll make you comfortable. Eric, if you would like to sit down, that would be fine too.
But hold a mic.
Grab the mic.
Grab the mic and get close to your mouth.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, speak to the mic though. This is.
We'll wait for Kathy to get back and then we'll start. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Melissa to ask questions first, and then Chris, and going all the way down, and then we'll do that again for the other two candidates.
One per council member.
One, or yeah, I would think one would be fine.
Okay.
What's that? Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Okay. Eric, thank you for your statement of interest. And we all received this last week, and we've perused all of these applications, and we're looking forward to your answers. So I'll ask Melissa to start.
Thank you so much for stepping up to help with Ward 2 Council. I think your long service to our police department and, of course, Kent State's is impressive, and I think you have a unique voice. But I have a very specific question. Thankfully, Jack put something together that really hits on something that I think is important. And that is, how do you approach making decisions when presenting with conflicting staff recommendations, public input, and your own personal views? How would you approach dealing with that kind of an issue?
Staff. This is ties to this one. So then, of course, you have to figure out how sometimes they have an insight. I've been in charge before. In position, I had tenure officer. That's what's going to be like on me. Or something like that. They could do it like that. And you'd want to talk about it because they had some problems. Then there's also understanding if you get out this public. The last thing I would.
Thank you. That's a very thoughtful response.
Yeah. To see you.
love to know just, you know, very generally, your motivation and interest in running. And you could weave in there an answer around what do you see as the top challenges and opportunities facing the city.
I went to work to the academy. I chose to be the best. This is the guy. It comes to the university, to the city.
You touch on it briefly, but challenges and opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah, one side over here in the human space. On the spiky thing. Sometimes there are things I understand. Every time. Then how do I do that?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, thank you.
Now, two of my circled questions were already asked. So I'm flipping to the back page. looking at your interactions with the public, how would you explain a controversial council decision to the public? And it could be controversial in the sense that maybe the public doesn't agree initially, or it could be that the council had a controversy, you know, the vote was very close. How would you approach such something like that? And maybe you've seen something like that here.
To what extent did I explain that? I just like have to explain it why I expect privacy to do that. Yeah. speaks with the generality. I think sometimes we just feel like we can do something. Talk about it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. I was going to ask, are there any decisions that you've seen from council recently that you think, wow, I can't believe we got that done. That's going to make a great impact for the community immediately. Or is there anything you might disagree with and may have gone a different way on?
Is there anything that you thought maybe, like, I wish that this would have gone the other way? Is there any other rational thing, like, in the history that you thought, I wish that would have gone?
I thought a lot about the basic topic. I'm so sure about that.
Just to clarify that, but you mean just specifically for that matter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Not overall.
What was that?
Understand Kent's council manager form of government? And if so, what do you see as the primary responsibilities of a council member under the council manager form of government? And I wanted to know, what is the biggest expense for the city regarding the budget? And have you been to any council meetings previously?
Oh.
No, expense. And then the other one is, do you understand how Kent's council manager form of government works?
One person in charge, another person in charge. City, sidewalks. That. corrections.
Okay, thank you. Hello. How do you work with colleagues who strongly disagree with you, and how would you have that disagreement but still stay clear in your position?
You take your personality out. All different. All my talent different. Back to the disagreement. I think the disagreement of calling something or matter. Disrespect somebody else. Also, the reality. Discuss why.
But what if we didn't have time to meet privately? What if you had to make a decision right then, but you strongly disagree? Thank you.
Eric, what do you think you can, so we all come with different experiences and skills. You know, we all come with different sets that we bring to the table when making decisions. And so the question is, what do you think you can contribute towards achieving City Council's top priorities during the remainder of this term? So for the remaining 2 years. All right. Thank you. Eric, do you have anything you'd like to say to us? So. Thank you. Thank you. As I said, we'll be voting next Wednesday, so hopefully see you then. Well, since he is finished, you can. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Michael.
You asked. I would like to see us. Something thank like you. That.
Thank you. Thank
you. Well, no, I wrote a question. I just kind of, maybe they address it in their responses, but actually.
Michael, thank you very much for applying. And the process is that we will, Melissa will ask the first question and then Chris will ask the second question and we'll go around to the end.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask the question about approach decisions when making something a conflict. So the staff is telling you one thing, you're hearing something else from the public. And you may have a different view. So what is your approach?
Excellent question, and it's an honor to be here. I appreciate the opportunity and all the time you've put into this, both today and kind of from week to week, representing the city. As far as the scenario you've given me, the first thing that comes to my mind is trying to obtain as much information as possible, and really checking the sources. So I think especially in today's day and age with the internet and the news, we can hear a lot of information, and it's difficult to ascertain the value of a lot of that information. So when I have conflicting sources of information, when I have conflicting facts, at that point, it tells me that I need to dig a little deeper. I need to get some source information. And where there is a disagreement or where there is conflict, try to pose that to the constituent or pose that to the staff and, you know, get the full story or the contrary argument if there is one. So really what it comes down to for me is getting the information, verifying the information, and trying to act on the information, being as clear as possible at the end of the day what I'm basing my decision on. In the scenario you gave me, you know, I might not agree with one side or the other. So I might not be necessarily making someone happy with the decision, but I want them to understand why I made the decision. And that is, at the end of the day, the best I think that a person can do when you do have the, you know, conflicts of interest or the conflicts of opinions.
Thanks for your application. I would love to know a little bit about your motivation to run. And as part of that, what you see as the top challenges and opportunities facing the city that you could address in your role.
Yeah, on the first part, my motivations for applying, and I'll start with, you know, kind of how I became aware of the vacancy in the first place, and that was I was just happened to be doing something I do from time to time, which is mining through the city's website. I just happened to be looking through the council minutes and agendas, and the government page on the city website, and saw that there was the vacancy, and so I said to myself, well, wait a minute, I think that's my ward, and sure enough, I verified it was. And I think that kind of leads to a little bit why I'm here today, and I think it's safe to say I'm a little bit of a nerd about this kind of stuff. You know, my background in college, my major was political science. The technical verbiage for it at my college was public law and government. I served in university student government. I've always had an interest in government, whether it be, you know, just kind of as a, you know, information, you know, fact learning, but also the understanding the importance of government to our day-to-day lives, right? So for me, now that my kids are a little bit older, now that I have a little bit more life experience behind me, you know, my public service, my volunteerism, I think is transitioning a little bit from, you know, coaching baseball or coaching soccer to more, you know, how else can I serve the community? And for me, you know, given my interests, given my background, I always thought it would be a good opportunity for me to serve in some capacity in local government. Actually, both of my siblings are employed in government service elsewhere. I went the weird route. I went to the private sector, but there's always been that little hook for me. I apologize. I know there's a second part of your question.
That's okay. Challenges and opportunities you see facing the city.
Sure. I actually hinted at this a little bit in my application, but I think big picture, long term, the challenges for the city come down to funding and tax revenue, business growth, basically things that will keep the money, the city services running. The success of the city, I think, is very deeply entwined with the success of the Kent State University. So I think that our interests often are aligned, and the importance of working with them because of the, kind of symbiotic relationship between the city and our university friends. So I think that knowing that Ohio as a state has lost population over the years, knowing that, tax bases change, knowing that, employment in the region has gone from more of a manufacturing based economy to more of a, online learning, or I'm sorry, what do they call it? The, learning economy, or the, intellectual economy, the e-commerce, if you will, how that's going to impact the city long term. So I think that these are the challenges. We have the day-to-day the challenges of any city in terms of the infrastructure and as far as resident life and maintaining streets and bridges, certainly. But I think big picture, the thing I look at is Kent going to be growing for the next 20 years, or are we going to be, facing challenges in particular with revenue?
Public service. I have a question more about relationships with you and the public, or constituents, but the public. And it has to do with, we make a lot of mundane decisions on council, but then every now and then there's a pretty controversial issue show up. And maybe it's controversial to the public, or maybe council might have different opinions. And so somehow there's a controversial issue, either split on council or the public doesn't like it. How would you go about explaining a controversial council decision to the public?
Yeah. One of the things that you might have seen on my resume is early in my career, I worked for the city of Akron, specifically in their law department in the prosecutor's office. And my main task for a lot of that time in my last year of law school, and just fresh out of law school, was to meet with constituents on criminal complaints. And so the idea was to allow them to meet with someone in the law department, like myself or other, young attorneys or young interns, to determine whether or not there was enough probable cause for criminal charges in their misdemeanor complaints. So we would interview, gather the facts, do these types of legwork. And frequently, more often than not, especially where they had previously, reported to the city police department the issues, we had to tell them, why we couldn't make a prosecuting decision. And so I think that was a pretty good experience for me to, have those difficult conversations with constituents, certainly honoring their feelings, honoring, why they came, trying to give them help where I could, if it was more of a civil issue, if that was the reason it wasn't a criminal in nature. But in some way, doing what I could for them as a, public servant, as a city employee, while still, ultimately telling them, I'm sorry, I know you came here because you wanted to prosecute Mr. Smith next door, but we can't do that, and here's why. And that kind of ties into, my initial response and making sure that they understand not just what the decision is, but why, we came to that decision.
So
So you would extrapolate that to your constituents?
Absolutely. Being in a leadership role, whether it's as a manager or as a city council person, you know, there are going to be times when you're making unpopular decisions. And so, again, I think making sure that they understand that they were heard is also an important part of that. You know, the decision wasn't made lightly, or the decision wasn't made, you know, without input, but, you know, making sure that they understood that they were heard, even if they don't like the outcome.
All right, thanks, Michael. I was going to ask, are there any decisions or actions made by council in recent history that you can point to or look at and think, wow, that's really great, I can't believe we got that done, that's going to be great for the community, and or anything that you've seen us do that you would have disagreed with or maybe voted differently than council did?
The only thing that, or at least the first thing that comes to my mind is DORA. I can't cite a date or a time or exactly when that was addressed, but I'm sure the city, you know, council, had a role in that. And I think that DORA has been a great benefit for the city, in particular for downtown, good for the residents. I know that, you know, when you have that kind of decision, there, sure, were people who were a little bit concerned about it, both from an economic standpoint as well as a public safety standpoint. But from, you know, my standpoint as a resident here in Kent and being downtown, I think it's been a great asset to, you know, have that opportunity. People come out, enjoy the outdoors, you know, socialize with people, and really, I haven't seen some of the, you know, concerns that might have been expressed back then as far as public safety and things like that. So I would point to DORA as something that the city council and the city as a whole implemented that I think has turned out well.
I'm going to turn that off. So I want to know, do you understand Kent's council manager form of government? And if so, what do you see as the primary responsibilities of a council member under this council manager form of government? Then also, have you been to many council meetings? And what is the biggest expense for the city?
Sure. Multi-part question. I'll try to get them as much as possible, but if I miss anything, please let me know. Have I been to a city council meeting? No. As I mentioned, I've reviewed a lot of the agendas and minutes online, but I've never attended in person. I've probably not watched one online either. As far as your last question, I'm sorry.
What's the main expense in the budget?
Yeah, I believe the largest expense for the city is the police department, the safety forces. I could be wrong on that. I did note that the city revenue is somewhere around $68 million these days, but I didn't see the breakdown of that. Offhand, I believe it's police on that. And as far as the, there's probably one, at least one other question there.
Do you understand the Kent City Council manager form of government? And if so, what do you see as the primary responsibilities of a council member under the council manager form?
Thank you. Honestly, I should probably do more background on the form of government. My understanding is the city council deals with policy, and the mayor essentially executes. So the mayor being almost the executive officer. From a flowchart standpoint, the city council is the head of local government. We are the legislative body for the city. The mayor and the departments report up through the mayor up to city council. As far as the activities of city council, you know, just like any other board or body, we speak through our ordinances, we speak through our official actions. I know that we're subject to the sunshine laws, the open records laws. So there's a lot of process involved. Back when I served as a board member, or even when I was in student government in college, you know, there was the parliamentary procedure that all plays a role in that I'm familiar with. In terms of the powers and duties of the council vis-a-vis the mayor, that's my general understanding as far as the policy and, or I'm sorry, the policy setting and the hierarchy of the city.
Okay. Thank you. Hello.
Hi.
How do you ensure, if you were to be on council, how will you ensure that equity and inclusion are considered in council decisions?
I think what it comes down to is ensuring that we are representing our constituents as individuals. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is everyone in my ward has a vote. Everyone in my ward, you know, regardless of race, gender, ethnicity, religion, their voices are equal. So it's important for me to affirmatively seek those voices on, in particular, you know, important decisions, controversial decisions, these types of things. I do strongly believe that the American way and the American system is focused on justice being blind and everyone being treated equally under the law. So it's kind of a long-winded way of saying it's important to me that everyone feels heard. It's important to me that everyone feels included. I don't have any special experience in the world of equity or inclusion, other than to say I think that whether it's the people that are my neighbors, or the people that I interact with at work, or the people that I interact with, you know, at the gym or in my recreational activities, they know that I see them as my neighbor, as someone that I care about, and not as a, you know, female, or not as a immigrant. So at the end of the day, it's on me to make sure that people understand where I'm coming from and that their opinion is valuable to me.
And would it be very important to help those that might need it more, such as an immigrant or a female, in our decisions?
I think if we...
To speak for those who might not feel comfortable speaking.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the city and governmental decision-making, if there are people that are going to be impacted by our decisions, which is frankly everyone, it's important for us to make sure that they are included. So, you know, I don't know if I see it so much as helping, more as ensuring that they're included. And if they're not included, whether intentionally or unintentionally, that can be a problem. And that's something that we want to ensure that, you know, the people of the city of Kent know that we value them. So again, regardless of their economic status, regardless of their, you know, religion or race, or whether they're Ward 2, Ward 4, we want them to be involved and feel like they're just as important as anyone else.
Thank you.
So.
We all come with different experiences and skills, but what do you think you can contribute towards achieving City Council's top priorities during the remainder of this term?
Yeah, I think as far as my background and experience, I don't think I've mentioned it, or I might have mentioned it early on, but I am an attorney by training. I think my talent, or at least, you know, something I'd like to focus on, is my ability to analyze. So when it comes to whether it's large projects the city might be undertaking, whether it comes to reaching out and working with other city departments and getting some background assistance that the city might need. You know, I know I won't necessarily have a lawyer hat on at the time, but just using that experience to try to shape the best outcomes as possible. You know, how many times do we have, you know, decisions or discussions, and we might be talking with a group of people and focusing on 80% of the issue, but ignoring or forgetting about the other 20%. And I like to try to be that contrarian who looks at the other 20% and says, okay, that's great. I'm glad we have an understanding. We've taken a look at all of these things over here, but have we thought about this? And so I think that something I would bring to council would be to, you know, bring that outlook to make sure that we're looking at all sides of an issue, whether it's a, you know, public utility problem, whether it's a fiscal problem, whether it's a public safety problem. Having that background to say, okay, you know, when I worked at First Energy and we had this, you know, public utility problem where we're working with the county on this right of way, I remember that we had to, you know, do this, that, and the other with the Ohio Utilities Protection Service, and just, you know, kind of random things like that. Just I think using some of my life experience to ensure that we're making the best decisions possible. You know, that's what a council does, is we use the collective knowledge of the whole to try to make the best decisions, and, you know, trying to be one part of that puzzle.
Thank you. Yep. Michael, do you have anything you'd like to say to council?
No, I in speaking with the other applicants here this evening, I know we're all excited to be here. We appreciate the opportunity. I know that whoever you select will be a good candidate here for the next 2 years in city council. And if I know it's the end of a long work day, I hope I've been somewhat logical and understandable in my comments, but if not, I apologize. But I've been a resident of the city of Kent for 6 years. I really love it here. I came here because of the city services, to be honest with you. Prior to this, my wife and I lived in a nearby township. Not to disparage the township life at all, but I really missed having things like libraries and sidewalks and police stations and parks and, you know, teams that my kids can play on. You know, I can take my bike and ride safely between, you know, downtown and the trails and things like that. So, you know, people would say, well, yeah, you're going to pay more taxes than living in a city. And it's like, I don't care, because I get the services for it. And that's kind of what brings me here, not just to Kent, but also to council, is to try to, you know, take the things that I see as the best parts of Kent and make sure that they're here for the next 10, 20, 30 years. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
You can stick around if you'd like, or you can leave, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Mike. So we're going to wait 1 second. One of the council people had to leave for a second. This is kind of, do you see my new,
yeah, there's this.
We're talking, I can set it for 3 minutes and they can see how much longer. right in front of me.
Oh, is that cool?
Yeah. Like Cecil ordered that from. Yes, it's a timer that will tell people that how much time they have to speak. So
it doesn't apply to us.
It doesn't apply to you. Yeah. Well, I guess I was being too generous. They decide. Yes.
Can I tie them both together then?
Yeah, that would be okay.
I kind of knew.
Okay.
I'm ready with the first one.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you can tie them together. That's fine. Reset? Okay. That's okay. Yes, thank you very much for applying. And I will, Ms. Alyssa will ask the first question, then we'll go down to council. Okay.
Good. How are you?
Thanks again for applying and stepping up for this opportunity to serve our community. So my question is, how do you approach making decisions when you're presented with conflicting recommendations from staff, from public input, and maybe even from your own beliefs, ideas? How would you manage that kind of conflict when making decisions?
Absolutely. Thank you for your question, and thank you all for having me this evening. First and foremost, I would say that I try to approach situations with active listening. Get as much information as possible. I particularly want to get as much information as possible from our city staff first. Before I'm able to go out and to talk to folks, I want to be able to have all of those details. And in understanding the way that our council is set up with our government model, it makes sense to deter to those folks first. After I have that information, I want to go straight to the people. I want to say, how do you feel about this? And at the end of the day, you have to talk to your colleagues on council, sunshine permitting, to make sure that you don't break any of the rules, but you need to hear everyone out. We can't come into these spaces and make decisions without having that information, without hearing from other members of the community. So I think that's how I would approach it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, Chris. My question is a multi-part question, so I'll start with the first, and that is, can you just tell us about your motivation and interest in running for this ward position right now?
Absolutely. About a year ago, I almost died. It changed my perspective on a lot of things. I know it's like a shocking thing to hear. I'm okay, I promise. But I discovered some things about my health and about some genetic stuff that I didn't know that I had. And I found that out the hard way. A year later, 2 weeks from now, it'll be a year later, I feel great. I feel better. And I'm managing. But it changes the way you kind of look at the world. And it changes the way that you look at your place in the world. I've always been someone who volunteers. I've always been someone who tries to be involved and try to support other people. I'm usually the guy who is standing behind the guy running for office. Mm-hmm. And I have told probably everyone in this room at some point in time or another, I don't really have an intention of doing that. That changed for me when I realized that the time that we have here is very limited. We don't know what tomorrow brings. And when I look out at the world that we live in, and I see governments shying away from transparency and shying away from listening to the people that you're here to represent, it gives me pause. It gives me concern. And I know that if I don't step up and if other people don't step up and raise those concerns and, you know, wave those red flags around and say, hey, what are we doing here? You don't have compassionate leaders and you don't have folks who are listening to people, actively listening, and making decisions based off of what the people want and the people need and what's best for the city and not what's best for your personal interest. We're no better off than the nation right now. And to me, with the little time that I do have on this planet, I want to try to make it a better place.
Thank you for that. And I speak for everyone, say we're glad to hear too. Second part of my question is just, what do you see as some of the challenges and opportunities for the city in this current moment?
I think right now one of the biggest challenges we have is meeting people where they are. We have this big, beautiful new building, and we need to fill it. We need people to come in from the community to voice their opinions. We need people to come in to join our boards and commissions. We need people to feel like they have a seat at the table and to show up and then be at the table. I feel like now more than ever, government needs participation to be truly representative of the people. It's not like it used to be. You have to give everyone space to come in and share those details. And far too often, especially in Ohio, we see local governments that don't do that, that limit public debate, that take away from that. make it harder for folks to make their opinions heard. I am a huge advocate of transparency. I believe that everything that happens in local government should happen out in the public. It should be requestable. It should be available to folks. How we make informed decisions, it be it boards and commissions, our council members, whomever, they should know how we got there. They should be able to connect the dots, not come into a space and say, oh, we're voting on something. We don't have the details. So for me, it's that transparency piece, and it's getting people to the table. And then from there, I also think the other biggest issue that's probably going to be facing us is going to be the budget. Right now, we obviously have a surplus. I know you just talked about that at the last meeting. But I think depending on how things go with the state government and cuts, depending on how things go with the federal government and cuts, we are always at the whim of certain outside forces. So it's investing in that rainy day fund and building that up for when the city needs it, but also being able to recognize when it's raining and being able to dip into it if it means bettering the lives of the people of Kent. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher, for applying and for being here. I'm going to ask you about controversial council decisions and how you might explain these types of decisions to the public. And let me give you two examples. One might be a split on council or council. It's a controversial for council. One might be council's okay, but maybe the public isn't so happy. So how would you go about explaining something controversial to the public?
I think I would probably approach it the same way that we did on the Planning Commission. I know several of you were in the meeting when we met to decide whether or not Starbucks would be there, whether or not we would cut down a century tree. You had, 100 folks show up who wanted to talk about it, and you had Planning Commission that was split on one side that said we think that it should be this way and the other two on the other. And then we had a community that was split. I think.
Could you remind me of where you were on that issue?
On the Planning Commission?
Yeah.
So on the Starbucks, I believe I voted yes due to the legality of the issue because we weren't, the way it was explained to us by legal counsel, everything was fully permitted. I was also the individual who made the comparison that if we pushed through that issue, we would be able to control the project. We'd be able to control the plan, make sure it conforms with the requirements of the city. If we denied the project, the developer would then have the ability to step away from that project, go cut down those century trees because they weren't currently being considered by the city as part of a project, and come back to us with a clean slate and be able to just kind of take over the system. What we ultimately came to was at the end of the day, you're going to have disagreements with the people that you work with. You're going to have disagreements with the people that are here to represent other folks. It is remembering that one, we're all human beings, and two, that we're all here for the same reason. That is to better the city. That is to be a good representative and a steward of the city. And in doing so, we have to be able to agree to disagree and then come back to the table on the very next issue. If anybody went through a fraternity or a sorority, they understand that sometimes you have to leave the business at the table. That personal relationships and personal feelings about those issues, there's a space for business and there's a space for the rest of it. And when you're in this space, you have an obligation in my mind to doing the best that you can to represent those people. You have to put personal differences aside. You have to put your feelings aside and you have to do what's best. We're not always going to agree. Doesn't mean we can't work together. And that doesn't mean on the next issue on the agenda that we're not on the same side. I think everyone has a different perspective. A lot of us also would represent different swaths of voters who might believe different things. What is good for your district might not be good for my district. They might not agree with it. It might be different going over from Ward 5 to Ward 1. So being able to say, we have a difference of opinion. We agree to disagree. Ultimately, council decided to do this. And then you have to respect that decision. You're not always going to be on the winning side. But what the council decides is what the council decides. And you have to go out and be a cheerleader for that and be a cheerleader for the city. That's the job.
Even when the public might disagree with us.
So I think when the public disagrees, you have to explain how you got to your decision. Say, this is how I got there. At the end of the day, I think the public won't always agree with us. No, the public didn't agree with me when I voted on that Starbucks issue. It was a very difficult choice to make, but it came down to protecting the legality of the city versus the personal opinions of the individuals who came out. And while their opinions were important, I tried to avoid this litigation because that could have hurt the city more, in my opinion, than the project that was at hand. Still hate the traffic in that area, just to be clear. But I think you have to go out and be willing to explain your choices. Folks aren't always going to agree with you. And if you don't go out and explain your choices and take the time to meet with them first before you make those choices, they're also not going to reelect you when it's time to run again. So you have to meet people again where they are and be willing to have those adult conversations. It's not always going to be easy, but it's the right thing to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Can you point to any actions by council in recent history that you wholly agree with and think, okay, this is going to be fantastic for the city. I can't believe we got this done. Or are there any that you look at and you think, wow, I really wish they would have gone a different way on this?
I'm going to have a really nerdy answer to that. Redeveloping the zoning code and re-exploring all that and the work that the Planning Commission did on that was huge for me. The city investing so much time and energy in that was a huge accomplishment for me. And that I think we made it a more equitable document for the people that it impacts. Outside of that, I think the easiest thing to point to would be the downtown redevelopment. That is a crowning achievement of this council that took years and years and years to implement and to bring all those resources and partnerships with so many different organizations, federal, state. This city would be drastically different. The city was drastically different when I got here 16 years ago. It looks nothing like it did. And I think you all should be very proud of that. It is a crowning achievement for this city. Something that might have been a little controversial, maybe when we tried to move the door zones a little bit and move the outdoor area, people didn't seem too happy about that. We probably could have asked first and said, you know, we're thinking about doing this. What do people like? But I think anybody also thought it would be as controversial as it was. But once businesses spoke out and people spoke out and they talked about the impact, council came back together and said, okay, what do we have to do to, you know, address this? And I think that's what you have to do.
So my question is kind of a three-prong long question. Do you understand Kent's council manager form of government? And if so, what do you see as the primary responsibilities of a council member under the council manager form of government? What's the largest expense for the city regarding the budget? And have you been to any council meetings?
I will do them backward because that's how my brain works with dyslexia. I have been to many council meetings. I haven't been to as many recently. The last council meeting I came to, I believe, was in reviewing the Charter Commission recommendations. For the second middle question.
Budget.
The budget. I would have to take a look. I'm not entirely certain. My assumption would be that the largest cost that we have to the city is going to be our staffing administration costs. It's going to be our maintaining certain city systems, be that utilities, be that repairs, or be that actual infrastructure pieces. And my guess would be from there, it's probably going to be some of the vendors that we're paying for. Some are legal fees, are fees for folks who come in to do the studies, that type of thing. I would have to take a look at the budget. I know that the budget was considered at the last meeting. I haven't had a chance to read through all the pages yet.
And then the other part was, do you understand Kent's council manager form of government? And if so, what do you see as the primary responsibilities of a council member under the council manager form of government?
I think the primary responsibility of council members is policy. I think we have a form of government that encourages council to come together and to decide the policy directions and then empowers our city team to go out and make that a reality. We empower the city manager, we empower the staff, they guide us, they inform us, but it is a relationship. It's working together to make those things happen. But at the end of the day, I believe that council is responsible for setting the policy and the administration is responsible for carrying out that mission, carrying out that vision, and going out and making it happen.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to put two questions together. How do you work with colleagues who strongly disagree with you while also ensuring that equity and inclusion are considered in our council decisions?
I work in political compliance. So I look at numbers all day long and I file reports for folks who are running for local, state, or federal government. Candidates on all sides, all kinds of different stuff there. No one ever agrees. No one ever agrees on the budget. No one ever agrees on how money should be spent. No one ever agrees on how reports should be managed because of the nature of the work that we do. So what we have to do is come together and say, let's look at the facts. Let's look at where we are. Let's look at this. What's the determination here? What information do we have? What information do we need? And then we defer to the experts. We say, okay, let's talk to legal. What does legal say about this? Let's talk to this person at the FEC. What do they say about this? We defer to the folks around us because you're not always going to agree, but you go out and you get more information. at the end of the day, you're going to have a majority. One way or another, one side is going to come to a consensus and the other side isn't. You're not always going to be on the same side of that majority, unfortunately. But that is the cost of doing business. That is the reality of doing business. But you have to be willing to hear people out. You have to be willing to let someone come to the table and give you everything that they're trying to give you before you give them back your opinion, respect, and then go with it. I think that's really important. For the diversity side of thing, I think it comes down to what we do to, again, meet people where they are, what we do to elevate diverse voices, bring people to the room, and make sure that if someone isn't being represented, we're giving them an opportunity to do so. I was uniquely fortunate in being a student at Kent State University. I got to be a part of the team that advocated for the LGBTQ Student Center. Before it was launched and when the funding was being secured, and Dr. Molly Merriman and Dan Naden and all the others who were doing the real hard parts of that fight, I was stationed between the Student Multicultural Center and the Student Women's Center at Kent State. So I spent a lot of time in both organizations learning about different opinions and how we can build bridges, how we can bring people to the table. We also did a lot of trainings around that on preconceived notions and how people are treated depending on who they are. You can't have true diversity, equity, and inclusion unless you reach out your hand and invite everybody to the table. And in doing that, you have to continually ask who isn't seated at the table, who doesn't have a spot here, and how do we bring them? And I think that's something that everyone should be looking to do.
Thank you.
We all come with different experiences and skills. But my question is, what do you think you can contribute towards achieving City Council's top priorities during the remainder of this term?
I think I bring two things. One, I am, and I know this will be an irony, I'm a numbers hawk. While I haven't had a chance to go through and look at all the lines in the budget, I deal with multi-million-dollar budgets every single day. File reports for clients that are $30 and $40 million budgets, and it's just what I do. Those numbers, I'm able to go through, I'm able to look at everything, things stand out, I'm able to connect the dots because I've done it for so long. I feel like having someone who can look at the budget, who can help to say this is where we're spending, this is where we could possibly save, this is where we can make some compromises, and just being able to then take that information, read through the budget, and explain it to people when they ask, explain it to the city. Why is this important? Yes, we're spending $55,000 over here, but this is what it actually does. This is how it actually benefits the public. Being able to take that information and turn it into action helps those folks understand and helps them get on board with what you're trying to accomplish. I also think my background in working with the Board of DD in Portage County is very helpful in as far as being able to work with other government officials, agencies, and groups to advocate on behalf of the city. Part of my role at the Board of DD was working with legislators as they were drafting budgets, as they were making key decisions about how much they were going to invest. I was one of the groups that was lobbying for an increase in wages for direct service providers who provide services to individuals with developmental disabilities. And I had to work with folks on both sides of the aisle because that's the job. So having that experience, being able to go to those spaces, being able to have sit in on union negotiations and sit in on those pieces, I think all of those things individually can help support council in different areas.
Thank you. Chris, do you have anything you'd like to say to council?
I just want to say that it has been a privilege to be here for the last 16 years. Again, in my application, I said that I grew up in a rural area in southern Ohio. I come from a 1,000-acre farm in the middle of nowhere. I never expected to find home in this city. It's been my honor and privilege to serve every chance I've had to do it. If you select me, it will continue to be my honor and privilege to serve right alongside you. And if you don't, I really appreciate your time and allowing me to come in here and giving me a chance to do it.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you. We will see you next week.
Thank you.
I move that we go into an executive session to discuss employment and appointment.
I think I have to.
Oh, you have to do that. I'm sorry.
I'd like to move an executive session to consider the appointment, employment dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Elka. Mr. Clapper.
Yes.
Mr. Hook. Ms. Schaefer-Bish.
Yes.
Mr. Tipton.
Yes.
Mr. Turner. Ms. Wallach. Ms. Wesley.
Yes.
Move to excuse Mr. Turner.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Oh.
They sure do, don't they? Sure do.
I did it for 12